Okay. All right. Thank you, ladies, for leading us in worship and encouraging us to have a greater sense of oneness. Before we continue, I'd just like to especially welcome those of you who are new. First of all, we have someone all the way from Perth. He's here back permanently. We'd just like to say hello to Cedric. Hi. There's Cedric, and he is back. Where are you working at? Suntec, huh? Okay, good. Sorry? PR firm. Well, welcome to you. We just want to say hello to June. She is here to join us. We just want to think about a few things before we take up the Lord's Word. Let me encourage you to sign up for the YEG retreat. We're looking forward to a wonderful time and really to come together in celebration. It's not just coming to listen to the Word of God. It's going to be a time where we will come together to worship the Lord, to really give thanks for this 10 years, for 20, if you count the next retreat, 20 retreats that the Lord has given to us to bless us and minister to us. Okay, so you want to sign up. Now, there are a number of things that we will try and do after the meeting today. For instance, we need to take pictures of all who have signed up for the retreat. So if you sign up today, your picture will be also taken. But if not, then tomorrow. So things like that, we are going to get it done. And I also need to to meet up with those of you who are interested in Christmas decorations. Okay? So we want to get things going for this Christmas time. Okay. Now, let's look at Philippians once again. And we've been looking at Philippians 2, and we finished Philippians 2. Now we are going on to Philippians 3, and one of the things that we want to appreciate as we look at this whole theme again, and we're looking at the idea of the upward call. And it comes to this chapter, which is a very key chapter to the whole book, and we want to be able to appreciate how we need to move upward. If we are not moving upward, then somehow we are going downward. It's crucial for us to say that whatever it is that we are seeking to do in life, we are moving upward. We are moving upward to the call in which the Lord has given to us. Okay? Now, when we come to chapter 3, there's something that I'd like to raise for us to consider. And I'd like us to look at spiritual accounting. Now, some of you are accountants, some of you are auditors, and so on and so forth. You account for a lot of things, whether it's a company or whether it is that you... But what about our own lives? Do you do a spiritual account of your life? Or do you look at having a profit and loss statement? Okay, I'm serious. Do you really look at your own life and work out a profit and loss statement for yourself? Because it's important to do that. What is it that you will consider as profit or gain? Or what will you consider as loss? If we do not take time to view the way in which we would consider, looking at the state of our faith, the state of our walk, by looking at this profit and loss statement of ourselves, of our spiritual self, then, we may not be able to have a proper assessment of ourselves spiritually. And what is it that we are really looking at? So what is it that is considered as gain? And what is it that is really considered as loss? Now the first part of chapter 3 really has to do with false teachers. Now that is most crucial for us to consider. I mean, there's a great warning concerning false teachers. And Paul was very, you know, straight to the point. He was very candid in his words. He called them all kinds of names, right? He called them dogs. Now, that's not very nice. Does somebody call you a dog? Surely, if somebody calls you a dog, that's not nice, right? You know, even in today's context, it's not a nice term to use. But during those days, it's even worse. You know, to the Gentiles, I mean, to the Jews, Gentiles are considered as dogs. It's like you are the lowest life form. You know, if somebody calls you a dog, it's not a very nice term. But you know what Paul did? He said, beware of dogs. Verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. You know, beware of these people. Why? Because they are evil and they are doing things that would end up considered as mutilation. Now, of course, this is really a reference to the Jewish circumcision. And now, what is this all about? See, these false teachers, they were introducing, so you have the Christian faith, right? And these were Jews, and they turned to our faith. But they also brought along their heritage, their Jewish faith. So one of the key things about the Jewish faith is circumcision. And they insisted that we must continue to have the practice of circumcision. So instead of looking at what the Lord has given to us as, you know, this is the new faith, as something that Christ has given to us, they wanted to bring in the old ways. Now, when that happens, it affects everything. It affects how you see your practices. It affects your life. It affects a lot of things. And, you know, these false teachers went on spreading all kinds of false teachings. And it affected other churches, like even the Galatian church, the Philippian church, the Colossian church. And it had all kinds of problems. See, when somebody comes out of where they came from, sometimes, even if they enter into something new, it's very hard to take out what is the old of them and to enter into that which is the new. And that has always been a problem. And it becomes a real issue. This week we found out that a church has decided to call it quits. They have a piece of space in a warehouse that they bought. They've been using it for many years as a place of worship, and the church has been slowly dwindling. A lot of people have left, and as a result, because they have not sought to change the ways, they're still, you know, stuck in the old ways of doing things and so on and so forth. A lot of the church members have left. And the church has dwindled and dwindled. And you know what? They have decided they're going to close the church. And that's a real, I mean, it's sad to hear that. But that's a big problem. And you know that there are many churches today that are of great concern because they talk about their faith, but it's mixed with all kinds of false teachings. So because of that, you ask yourself, if we have such a faith, if we really believe based upon such a content, what is that to us? And we don't look at it well enough. So Paul takes it up. Paul is very concerned of these who are Judaizers, they speak of their heritage, and so on and so forth. Now, look at verse 4 onwards, and it says, verse 2 and then verse 3, who worship, for we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I am also, right, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuted the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So, Paul, you know, he was truly a pedigree Jew. You know, of all the people who are considered Jews, he was the most outstanding, or one of the most outstanding. And yet, recognizing that all these things, end of the day, it comes to nothing. Because these things were considered as false. So Paul takes it up and asks, you know, what is it that ultimately would be considered as gain, and what will be considered as loss? Because there's no point living this life trying to cultivate this faith if at the end of all that you seek to do and you find out that this faith is not genuine and it's not true, and it's not what God will want us to have. You see the problem here? And becomes a real issue. Now, let me ask the auditors and Jolene and Eugene and who else? Any more accountants? Tim Ping and so on and so forth. Now, when you do a statement, when does a gain become a loss? When is it? What scenario when a gain, or whether it's a profit or whatever, will become a loss? Okay, Eugene, try. Sorry again? When it's false. False gain. What do you mean by false gain? Okay, so that means what? That means what? Explain. What do you mean? Okay. You have to remove the gain, right? So, in this case, it would be what? Are you talking about a fraud case, or are you talking about what? Wrong accounting. Okay, so part of it is wrong accounting. Okay. That means your accounting principles are wrong. Okay, what else? Julie? Something devalues. Okay, good. Something devalues. Right? Because something that was considered most important, and as a result, the value of it, you know, is reduced, is lost, it depreciates, right? So depreciation be part of it, right? Okay, what else? Same thing. Wow, all the accountants suddenly. Sorry? non-entry. Okay, so that is just a human error. Ting Ping, what do you think? Sorry? Okay, but there's more human mistakes, right? Human error. Which is, sure. So, true. Human error and so on. Yeah, YC. When you what? The liability part is the loss part. Now, I'm not talking about the loss part first. I'm talking about the gain part. When does a gain become a loss? Which is true. You talk about wrong accounting, you talk about devaluation, you talk about human mistakes, and so on and so forth. Now, what if the whole accounting standard changes? Does that happen? Correct. True? When the whole accounting standard changes, when the whole perception that you have concerning what is really considered, first of all, whether it's a gain or loss, so what is it that you will once consider as gain will be considered as loss now? Because maybe the authorities decided, you know, this is what we want to change. I think they changed right along the way. No. Not so drastic lah, right? Correct. You're right. Now, my point is, what if when you look at something that was once considered as gain? So for Paul, for the life of him, all as a Jew, he saw what it means for him to be a Pharisee, you know, to be famous, to have, as a Pharisee, he has wealth, to have riches, to be able to be, you know, to have a so-called, you know, all kinds of things that he has gained for himself. And because his whole life has been working according to this perspective, according to the heritage, according to the Jewish faith, according to the Jewish perspective, all these things were considered to him gain. But once he knew Christ, all these things changed. His perspective changed. And it affected the way he accounted what was gain to a loss. And that's why he wrote what he wrote. So let's look at verse 7 now. But what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. You see, the accounting standards have changed. For him, his accounting standards changed completely. It was not just partial. It was not just some things. It was a whole change of standards of how he would see value. What would he consider as a real gain in life? You know what? Whatever he has gained is lost. See, it's very important for us to understand this, because much of our lives, we look for the gain for ourselves. By all means, I understand that we all need our careers, we need our work, we need, you know, the things of this world as provision. Yes, God has provided all these things. But if it's just considered as only a gain to ourselves, you ask yourself, is that really a gain? If it's all about ourselves, if it's all about me, these things are because it is for me, then you ask yourself, is it really a gain? And Paul says, no, I consider this gain as loss. And he changes his whole accounting principles as how he would see life for himself. And I thought that was something for us to really consider. For Paul, the way in which he had to deal with all these false teachers and all, is to tell them, all these things that you are working with. So you know, there are all kinds of so-called faith that is out there. And they think that they are gaining. But in fact, they are losing. And they lose so much as a result. So much effort is put into all these things. But yet, at the end of the day, they are just going to end up with a loss. A great loss. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians just for a while, just as a side thing. One Corinthians 3. Right? The focus of our foundation really is Christ. Correct? Now, if verse 12. But if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, great. Because these things are good. But with wood, hay, and straw, these things you need to be very concerned about. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, that the fire will test each one's work, or what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. It will be loss. It will not be accounted to you for anything at all. What is the point of focusing on all these so-called gains when at the end of the day it will be accounted as loss? And to me, that is truly a great concern. So don't you think that we really need to work out our accounting standards, our accounting perspectives concerning our own lives, to work out your own profit and loss statement? You better look at it now, okay? Whether you have really gained or lost. Seriously, if our whole lives, I mean, hopefully, you know, in any business, you always want to work with gain. You always want to have profit. I mean, at the end of our lives, what is it that we have gained? Okay, any questions concerning this? Don't you think this is crucial for us to seriously think about? We really need to redefine a lot of things for ourselves. Okay? So the word, first of all, for the word gain is the word kerdos in Greek. Okay? And the word loss is the word zemir. Zemir. Okay? The word zemir is really, it is a bad deal. The worst possible deal that you can have. So that basically what it, that's what it means. And so Paul tells us here, okay, now let's go back to Philippians 3. So he says, but what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. For indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. So he works it out and he thinks it through. What is it that I truly consider as lost? What is it that is really... Okay, let's think about it for a while. What do you really consider as lost? What do you think? Paul, what do you think? What would you consider? Huh? Yeah, ask Paul, since you wrote the Philippians, so let's ask Paul. What would you consider as loss to you? Okay, let's work it out. A profit and loss statement. For Paul says, you know what, I consider all these things or counted these things as loss. What would you consider as loss? Sorry? In terms of your life, what would you consider as loss? I mean, for me, a loss would have been, like for instance, when I went out with my the time that was lost, having fun with my friends and partying and stuff like that, you know, all these things were lost. Because they're all gone. I mean, end of the day, what's that all about? Right? What else? Nelson, what do you think? Anything? Career? Well, as I said, there's nothing wrong with having a career. But if a career is all about yourself, is how far you can go, how much you can earn, you know, everything about how you can brag, you know, to others and everything else, then my question to you is, have you lost yourself in your career? See, how do you know that something is lost when everything is about yourself? Nelson, what do you think?
Spending too much time on
games. Games. Sure. You still play games, huh? Sure. I mean, nothing wrong with having a break here and there. There's nothing wrong with all these things. But if it's something that takes up so much of yourself, it becomes a problem. So you ask yourself, how much? I mean, if I look back at my own life, and before I became really serious in my faith and so on, I mean, I lost a lot. I mean, I played water polo, no? And the kind of training that we did was like, when, especially during my NS time. Of course, it was also good to play water polo during NS time because you don't have to go and run around in the jungle, just bask in the sun, in the swimming pool and things like that. Right, Sherman? No lah. So it was a good trade-off, but you know, I think back on the amount of time and energy that I put in into water polo. Wow, it's a lot of time. And you know what? End of the day, it's all lost. What is that to me now? I also don't know where I get a SEA Games gold medal. I also don't know where that is. All lost. What is that? So you sit down and you think through about your life. You ask yourself, how much have we really lost? And Paul says, you know, all that thing that, you know, looking at being one of the top Hebrew of the Hebrews concerning the law, he knew all the laws, he was zealous, he did all these things, persecuting the church, all lost. Right? Okay. But what is it that ultimately we want to gain? Now, the word counted, okay, is this word, her goal mind, okay? And basically is the word to consider, to count it, to... Now, it says here in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Okay? That is what we call the perfect tense. Meaning, something that I already counted in the past. Okay? So, previously, before this, I was looking at all these things that were wrong and so, but it came to a point in time in which I counted it as loss. When I counted it as loss, and you know, the effect of that continues. Can you see the point here? So the way I'm living my life now is that I've counted these things as loss, and now I'm looking at what I will gain out of it. And then he changes it very interestingly. He changes it a little bit. Okay. What I counted, right, loss for Christ, yet I also count all these things loss. Now, that is your present tense. So the understanding about the perfect tense is that it is the present consequence of it. So not only did he, so once he counted it as loss, and he continues to count it as loss. He doesn't go back to it. You see the point here? The effect of it is that it is a continuous idea that is being brought across. And he doesn't reconsider it and say, oh, no, actually it should be again. No. It's considered as loss, and it's final, and the effect of it continues, and he continues to consider it as loss for the sake of Christ. Okay? Count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. That to me is what we are looking at. You count all these things as loss, and they are lost. They are not something that you will go back to. It's not something that you will redefine again and again. No, it's something that you have really thought to yourself, you know, in terms of the way you will count things in your life, you have considered as loss. And that's it. You're not going back to these things anymore. But then, yet at the same time, there is a different perspective. And that is, look at verse 8 again, the last part. Right? And he says, count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. So on the other side of your statement, what is it that we have gained? And the most important thing that we have gained is Christ. Nothing else matters when we have Christ. It says here, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Okay? Be found in Him. Right? And not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is true faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. What else is there you gain? You gain righteousness. Okay? To me, that's wonderful. Okay, any questions? Different kind of accounting, right? Eugene, what do you think of this kind of accounting? Very interesting, right? Huh? Sorry? Sorry? More useful, yes. Huh? End of the day, all that accounting, all you have learned. Count as rubbish. Right, end of the day, what's that all about? I mean, yeah, by all means, you need to be accountant, you need to work, you need to do all these things, which is important. But you know, you look back and you say, wow, what's that all about? I'd rather look at this spiritual gain that God has given to us. It is about Christ. It's about being in Him. Wow. Okay? It is about in the sphere of Christ. Locative. In Him. Okay? And it's really being able to understand this. Right? Now, ultimately, what is it that we're really looking at? You see, the way in which you determine what is loss and gain would determine to some extent what is your purpose in life. See, sometimes we ask yourself, I've always asked this, I've been asked this question, what is my purpose in life? What is your purpose in life? Tawa, what is your purpose in life? Count money in the bank. Yeah, what is your purpose in life? Shirlene, what is your purpose in life? Sorry? Much thought. Yeah, precisely the point. Belinda, what is your purpose in life? Jason, what is your purpose in life? You know what a challenge for us to really consider? Because, frankly, it will be very difficult to find out what is the purpose in life if you haven't figured this out yet. Because if something that is considered as truly loss and you see it as gain, then it will affect your purpose. But if you see this as how Paul sees it, and he sees this, you know what, my gain is this, then you know what, it will affect your purpose in life. You run any business, you run any company, you have a vision. Right? What is your purpose for your existence? Well, this is Paul's purpose. In verse 10. Right, usually when you have the word that, in the Greek, they always use what we call a hina or a infinitive. Okay? So here, that I may know him. The word know is written in what we call the infinitive. And the infinitive always reflects a sense of purpose. Because Paul was able to figure out what he considered as lost and what he considered as gain in his life, he was able to come to his purpose. And my purpose is to know Christ. Nothing else matters. For me, that is why I study Greek. That's why all of us should study Greek. Maybe not all, you know, at least some of us. But the whole purpose of life is really to know Christ. Now, I understand you are familiar with this verse. I understand that this is something that you are, you know, you think about and so on. But in reality, is it our purpose in life? That I may know Christ, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection. Wow. Now, they're all connected. That I may know Him. So first of all, it really has to do with Christ. That I may know all that I can concerning who Jesus is. And that's why it goes back to this idea. You know, I count all things are lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. How excellent is your knowledge of Christ? Can we say that we have excellent knowledge of who Christ is? Do we have in-depth study of who Christ is? And if it's not, then why aren't you making it your purpose in life? I personally have made this my purpose in life. When I, you know, when I decided to go into the full-time ministry, one reason was I wanted to know the Lord even more. It would take a lifetime and many more in order to know Christ. And I didn't want to spend another day working in a bank, trying to be a professional, Tai Long, chasing people for money, and wow, that was not what I wanted to do. I'm not saying that Tao Hua and the others are professional Tai Long or whatever. I mean, they do other things and so on, right? But, you know, I wanted to spend my days knowing the Lord. And, you know, this year, next year, somewhere in September, it would have been 20 years since I gave my life to the Lord. And it's been 20 years that I continue to know the Lord and to be able to discover Him so much more. And I tell you that same, all things are lost. There's so much for me more to learn. I mean, I know a pastor and his knowledge of Greek is, you know, that is what we call high-flown Greek. Ours is like low-level flying kind of Greek. And we don't know very much. But his Greek is like, sometimes he wax eloquent and then all of us look at each other and, yeah, okay. But that's pastor for you. But you know what? There's so much more for me to know. There's so much more for me to know about His power. The power of His resurrection. Power. Can you understand the power that Christ has and can give to us? The power that raised Him from the dead. I mean, what kind of power is that? That can raise someone from the dead. I don't think any one of you has such a power. I mean, from the source, from you. Right, Jared, if I were to ask you, you know, go to an ant and then kill the ant. Okay, you go and raise the ant from the dead. Small little thing. Raise the ant from the dead. Can you do that? You can't. Anybody can do that. Yixiang, cannot. Right. Nobody can. One small little creature, no matter what you try and do, you can shout at it, you can cry out at it, you can, you know, give to it mouth-to-mouth resuscitation or whatever. You try to do whatever you can to the end. The end will remain the end. It's not going to rise from the dead. Only the Lord can give that kind of power. And that power is ours to discover. How much of that power have you discovered? I know that it can be quite wearing when we work, when we serve the Lord, when we try to balance things up. You know, it's challenging. You know, we, yes, Some of us have to really work late into the night and so on. But can we not discover this power of the resurrection of Christ? Well, that is one of my purpose. Another purpose, the fellowship of his suffering. You know, you talk about oneness. When somebody suffers, would you suffer along? When you see Christ suffering, would you be there and say that no matter what, I will stand up for my faith too, and I will also suffer? The fellowship of his suffering. Being conformed to his death. Now, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Conform to his death. The idea here is that you go to the fullest extent of dying, of identifying with Christ. How much of are we willing to go in terms of identifying with Christ? And I hope that this is something that you would think about. You cannot talk about purpose if you haven't figured out your accounting standards. I work with biblical accounting standards. And it is with biblical accounting standards that I know what is truly loss and what is truly gain. And when we are able to figure this out, then you know what is my purpose in life. Because you will work towards that which will be gain rather than loss. And I find that sometimes, you know, even many of us, we may be working towards things that at the end of the day, it will be lost to us. And you ask yourself, what is that all about? I look at those who are so caught up with, you know, the health and the wealth and you know, kind of perspective of life. And, you know, there's so much for them to lose at the end. At the end of it all. What is the point when you are working with something that is not true faith? We want to be able to have true faith. We want to defend this faith. Tomorrow night, the pastors, we are going over to India. And we are celebrating in Satyam's 25th anniversary. And, you know, so much has been poured in for them. And one of the key things that we're going to talk about is that our faith must be with content. And all the years that we have been working is really helping them to find their knowledge of Christ, about his word, and correcting a lot of things. You know, you ask Titus when he came for his studies here, so much of what he had understood had to be corrected again and again and again and again. A lot of undoing. And we're glad that they've come to, you know, 25 years. And they are growing and they continue to grow. And we see great potential in the years ahead. And we're looking forward to 1,000 of them coming together to worship. That's the same faith that we're talking about. And that's the kind of faith that we want to have. So even as we take a bit of time to fellowship together, I hope that you will really consider this. Work it out. Think it through. You know, you do your psalms, you do your accounting at work, you do, you know, to me, this is the most important accounting that you want to do. Your gain and your loss statement. And then you find your purpose in life. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray that you will help us to take time to look at our own lives once again and to see what is it that we truly would consider as loss and what we would consider as gain. Even as we look at the example of Paul and how he was able to rethink his whole life when he came to know the truth about Christ. and how he was willing to say, this is considered as loss, and that he will work towards that which is true gain in his life, and that he was able to find his true purpose, that he would know Christ and his power so much more. We pray, Lord, that you will bless us even as we fellowship over some tea and bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, have a bit of time of fellowship together.